And I speak to you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How can these things be? How can these things be? Are the words of Nicodemus in our gospel reading this morning. His question highlights the mystery and the wonder of this day, when we celebrate both the mystery of the Holy Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we are to worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, as the Athanasian Creed puts it, along with the baptism of a child. The question which Nicodemus asks echoes that asked by Mary of the angel Gabriel. How can this be, seeing I know not a man, and told she is to expect a baby? The question is that we are in the midst of very great mysteries, the mystery of God and the mystery of our humanity. The mystery of the Trinity and the mystery of the Incarnation are just so intimately and inescapably connected. And it is into this mystery that Arthur and soon to Charles and Jane are to be baptized. By this sacrament, they are to each be made a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven, and a member of Christ, as we say in our rite of baptism. And how can this be, we ask? And the answer is, ye must be born again, as Jesus tells Nicodemus. Well, is not birth hard enough on its own? All of you who are mothers can testify to that. But to be born again, how can a man be born again when he is old, asked Nicodemus. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He, of course, takes the statement literally, to which Jesus responds by explaining the difference between flesh and spirit and their relationship. He must be born again means something of another order, not a physical rebirth. Something of the spirit, as we are told, just as the wind blows where it wills and you cannot tell whether whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone born of the spirit. And so for Arthur today, he is to be born again by the spirit, born into the mystery of the Holy Trinity, yet also born into the mystery of the Incarnation. And it means being born upwards into what has come down for us, born into the mystery of heaven, the mystery of God, seemingly beyond our sight and reach, but born also into the mystery of God with us in the Incarnation. Such are the motions of grace about the heavenly things that have been told to us. No one has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven, as Jesus patiently but firmly explains to Nicodemus. After this I looked, and beheld a door was opened in heaven. So began our reading from Revelation. We can in fact see into heaven after all, but only by being incorporated into the life of God's Son. We can see by the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. What happens here this morning is the beginning of Arthur's life being taken up into God. It is a reminder to us all of our own baptisms, the beginning of the orientation of our lives to God and with God, and we surely need such reminders. We find the truth of ourselves in Christ, that we have to be incorporated into him so as to grow up into that life. Baptism is the beginning of a spiritual life by the grace of Christ. It is bestowed upon us all so that we may be raised up into the life of God. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And so the Holy Spirit, who moves over the waters of creation, will again move over the waters of new and redeeming life this morning, which are the waters of baptism. For Arthur is to be born anew, born from above in the descending grace of the Holy Spirit, and incorporated into the life of Christ and his church. Death, as well as life, and the washing away of sin are signified in the waters of baptism. In some churches, baptism is by total immersion in a tank of water. That symbolizes even more the going down into hell, into the death of our sins, and the rising to new life, having been washed of sin through the coming down of the Holy Spirit to gather us sacramentally into the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Something happens today. New life, new birth, spiritually, is conferred upon Arthur. It remains for him to grow up into the understanding of what has happened here, and in time, to own it for himself. But how can he do that? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching him all things and bringing all things to remembrance. And how shall that be accomplished? Only through his parents and sponsors, only through his life in the body of Christ, where we are all taught and reminded of what belongs to our identity in the body of Christ. Arthur's baptism is a sign of our own baptisms. Like him, perhaps, we cannot remember the experience of our baptism. But our experience is not the measure of its truth and its reality. In some sense, its truth and reality are found in the teaching and in the apprehension of its meaning by our hearts and minds, according to the capacity of the beholder to behold. We take hold of what has been received and heard, seen and shared on this day. And so this celebration today is altogether about God, about the mystery of the Trinity, and about the forms of our own incorporation upwards into the divine life. We call down the Holy Spirit in the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion to raise us up into the life of heaven, which is the life of the Holy Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now to the rite of baptism, and I will ask Arthur and his parents and the rest of the family to join me at the front at the back of the church.